The following audio is from LCBC Church. To learn more about LCBC, visit lcbcchurch.com.
Well, Brad already said it to you once, but I'll say it again. Welcome to LCBC. It is so good to have you with us as we start a new year in 2021. And it's amazing that it's finally here. And if you're brand new to LCBC, then I'd also say welcome. And I trust that you are able to enjoy Christmas, whatever circumstances you might be in. And at the very least, I hope that you were able to relax some and change of pace that just gave you a little different experience over the holidays. Now, I would imagine that pretty much all of us would say we're ready for 2021 to be different than it was in 2020. I'm pretty sure that all of us would say we would like for things around the world, maybe in our country, to be very different this coming year. And my guess is, if we were to speak to each of us individually, if I could talk to you, you would say, you know what, there are things in my life, in your life, that you would like to change this year. I'm guessing that there'd be areas in your life where you'd say, I don't just want them to change, they need to change in my life this year. You know that feeling. Your life isn't quite the way you'd hoped, and so you decide you're going to try to change things yourself. And so some of us, we make New Year's resolutions and we say, this year it's going to be different. This year it's going to be the year. And with each and every year, the temptation is to think that if I just give myself enough time, or if I could just be committed enough, then I can change my own life. I can be a different man this year than I was last year. I could be a different woman. Or if you just give me enough time, and if I could just commit myself and dig deep enough, perhaps this is the year that I'm going to get control of my thought life, or this is the year that I'm going to lose weight, or this is the year that I'm going to master and move on from porn, or this will be the year that I move on from my past regrets. Or we'll say things like, man, if you just give me enough time, and if I could just commit myself to doing it, this year I'm going to get to know my son better. This is the year that I'm going to begin to talk and get on talking terms with my daughter again. Or just give me enough time and I can do this. Or we'll say, you know what, this is the year. My goal is to stop being so consumed by social media. I'm not going to be on my phone all the time anymore. This year, I'm going to stop letting the circumstances around me dictate my mood or my emotions. If I can just dig deep enough and be committed enough and try hard enough, this is the year that things are going to be different. It's almost like we talk ourselves into believing that change is going to come about in our lives by just trying harder. But the problem is, and you know this, if you've tried harder long enough, you know that you can't change yourself. No matter how hard you try, no matter how committed you are, no matter how deeply you dig, you cannot change yourself. And so the temptation is, and what we often do is we just give up. And eventually, most of us come to the conclusion that trying harder doesn't work, and so we just stop trying altogether, and bottom line, we just kind of give up trying to change our lives. Now, do you know that it's actually possible to tell when you've given up on trying to change your life? You know when you've given up hope on changing your life, when you make comments like this, when you say, you know what, you're just going to have to accept me the way I am. And I think men are especially good at using this excuse for their bad behavior. Men will say things like, you know, it is what it is. I am who I am. And honey, you just got to accept me for the way I am. It's just how I am. It's just the way I operate. This is how I am, and you've just got to deal with it. And this is just how I am, okay? And you've known me all these years, and you know the way I am, and you're just going to have to work around this because it's just who I am. Now, whenever you hear someone say, that's just who I am, that's a sign that that person has given up trying to change. And isn't it interesting how easy it is for us to say, that's just who I am about ourselves, but we don't accept that excuse from others. I mean, you don't accept it from your children when they say, Daddy, I'm just a food thrower. I can't help it. I just throw food. That's just who I am, and you're going to have to accept me for who I am. I'm a food thrower. And we go, I don't accept that one. Or you don't accept excuses from your roommate who says, I'm a thief. I mean, I just got to tell you, it's just why am I steal things? I can't help myself, and you're just going to accept me the way I am. And you don't accept that. Or if your spouse says, you know what, I'm just a spender. I just spend. That's just kind of who I am. It's what I do. You need to make more money or compensate somehow because I'm a spender, and I can't do anything about it. And we don't accept that excuse from other people. But isn't it something when it comes to me, I want you just to get comfortable with me because, I mean, that's just who I am. This is who I am. This is how I do things. These are my weaknesses. You know my strengths, and you just got to love me the way I am. Can I just tell you that as soon as those words leave your lips, you've given up. At some point in your life, you quit trying harder, and now you've just given up, and you've quit trying at all. And so you say, just accept me as I am, because, man, somehow we think that's an acceptable excuse, but it's not an acceptable excuse. So today, we actually begin a new series of studies that we're calling Rethinking My Life. And in this series, we're going to be looking at how to change our lives. And over the next several weeks, we're going to be taking a look at how our lives can be different. But let me just pause here and let me tell you right up front that this will not be your typical dig deep, commit, try harder, you can change yourself kind of talk. When it comes to change, we're often told that if we just choose to change ourselves and we can convince ourselves to try harder to change ourselves, then somehow everything's going to be better. I mean, if I could just be inspirational and if I could just end this talk with some big song and we could all get fired up about changing ourselves in 2021, somehow we could go out and our lives would be different. But the problem is this. We've all been inspired before. We've all been hyped up before. And we've been challenged to change ourselves before. And for a little while, everything felt good. I mean, it felt so right and so exciting and so good. But you and I both know those feelings just don't last very long. And that's the problem. Try harder to change yourself is just a lot of hype, and it wears off pretty quickly. And because we know that we can't truly change ourselves, we spend our time trying to change the externals. We spend a lot of time trying to change the way we appear to others. And so we make a lot of external changes. We change our hair color, or we change outfits, or we change houses, or we change spouses, or we change cars, or we change radio and television channels. And there are things in my life that I need to change, and there are things in your life that you need to change. But because we can't seem to change what's on the inside, we spend a lot of time changing what's on the outside. And our hair, our clothes, our jobs, our friends, our circumstances. And if we're not changing our appearance, then you know what we also tend to do? We tend to blame others. We say things like, you know, it's just the way I am. I am the way I am because of my family. I am the way I am because my mother was mean-spirited. I am the way I am because my father was domineering. I am the way I am because of my friends. I am the way I am because of my spouse. And the reason I'm sleeping in the wrong bed is because of you. You're not meeting my needs. You're not doing it for me. And so we get real good at playing the blame game. And here's the bottom line. In case you have to leave early, then this is my whole talk today. Bottom line, you cannot change yourself. And this is it. It's the whole thing. You cannot make yourself a better version of you. And we all know that because we've all failed miserably trying to change ourselves. Bottom line, we can't change ourselves. And I don't have what it takes to truly change myself. You don't have what it takes to truly change yourself. But again, you already knew that, didn't you? And the realization that we can't change ourselves can leave us feeling pretty hopeless. I mean, how do I become a better man? And how do you become a changed woman? And how do you become a changed student or a changed child? Or is change even possible? Is trying harder, if that's not the answer, is change in my life even possible? Well, fortunately, there's some good news when it comes to life change. And Jesus said that life change is possible, but he says it's not by trying harder, and it's not even by being more committed. You see, Jesus talked about life change, and when Jesus talked about life change, he used a very peculiar term that he said, this particular term, it makes life change possible. And if you and I could come to understand this peculiar term that Jesus used, and if you and I could actually experience this peculiar term that Jesus used, then it opens the doors for you and me to truly experience life change. So here it is. Let me give you this peculiar term that Jesus used. And if you've been rethinking your life lately, if you've been wishing that your life would be different, then Jesus says, in order to experience true life change, here's the term, Jesus said, you must be born again. Now, Jesus introduces this peculiar term of being born again while he was actually having this intimate conversation with a Jewish leader by the name of Nicodemus. Most likely, Nicodemus was talking to Jesus at night because he didn't want anybody else to know that he was talking to Jesus. Much like today, back then, it wasn't politically correct to be seen with Jesus, and yet there was something about Jesus that drew Nicodemus to Jesus. And here's the funny thing. Most likely, Nicodemus actually came to discuss theology with Jesus, but all Jesus wanted to do and all he wanted to discuss were birthdays. So let me invite you to grab a Bible and let's read about this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. It's found in John chapter 3, and whether you're sitting at a desk right now or if you're lounging on your couch or if reclining on your lazy boy, the way to get the most out of our gatherings is to actually grab a Bible and open it up and read along with us, whether it's a hard copy of the Bible or simply opening up your Bible app on your phone. And so you can read along with me. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation. And trust me, I know. I've been watching enough of our gatherings online to know that it's easier just to sit back and not open up a Bible while watching online. But I'm going to challenge you today to go ahead, grab a Bible, and open it up and read along with me anyway. I'm reading in John chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak to Jesus. 'Rabbi,' he said, 'we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you.'" So he says, look, we all know that there's something special about you, Jesus. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, Nicodemus was undoubtedly a very bright man. He was a respected scholar who had studied the Bible most of his life, but in this particular conversation, he was lost. And he looks at Jesus and he goes, "Born again?" You see, according to Jesus, everyone needs to have two birthdays. The first birthday, we all know about. It's when you're young, you want everybody to remember it, but as we get older, we hope everybody forgets that particular birthday. But Jesus says our second birthday is just as, if not even more important than the first, and the first birth is really about time, but the second birth is for eternity, and it's this second birthday that most of us know very little about. It's a birthday that's frequently confused with religion or just good works or 12 steps programs or self-improvement plans, but as you read the Bible, what you begin to discover is that this second birth is nothing less than a miracle. It's extremely important. It's a supernatural work of God that takes place within the heart of a person when he or she comes into a relationship with God. And the Bible calls that being born again. And a new birth happens every time that a man or a woman or a child put their faith in Jesus Christ. Being born again is imperceptible to the human eye. In other words, I can't tell if it's happened to you or not. It's an invisible work that takes place through receiving Jesus as our personal Savior. And when we receive Jesus as our personal Savior, then God says His Spirit actually enters our lives and causes us to be born again. But this time, we're actually born into God's family. John, who was a close friend and follower of Jesus when Jesus walked the earth, actually said it this way. He said, "But to all who believed him," being Jesus, "but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." They are reborn, this second birth, born again, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. He says, this new birth, it's a God birth, and it's nothing short of a miracle, and it happens the moment you and I put our faith and our trust in Jesus. And in that exact moment, the Bible says that God's Spirit comes to live within us, and we begin a new life. We're actually born again. I know, to our ears, it sounds kind of bizarre, the idea of being born again, and that's because I suppose it is bizarre. Maybe I should say it's more bizarre than bizarre. It's actually supernatural, and the question is, how does this even happen? Nicodemus asked the same question of God. Look at John chapter 3 again, verse 4. "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again." And Nicodemus, he just listens to what Jesus is saying. He says, "How can this even be possible?" And in essence, Nicodemus says, you know what? Being born again, it's a mystery. I don't know how to explain it. It's a mystery. It's hard for Jesus to even explain. It's a mystery. He said, it's kind of like the wind, Jesus told him. Verse 8, "The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit." And Jesus says, You can't see the wind, but you know that it's there, and you can see its effect. And you can't see God's Spirit either, Jesus is saying, but you can see what God's Spirit does. And bottom line, Jesus says, it's a mystery. We invite God, the change agent, into our life, and God's Spirit takes up residence in us, and all of a sudden, life is different. Now, you might be thinking, that's wonderful. That's good news. So all I need to do is accept Jesus into my life, and I'm born again into God's family, and God's Spirit takes up residence in my life. And so does that mean when it comes to life change, I'm done? That's it? I don't have to do anything else? Now I just sit back and kind of relax? I mean, is that all that's necessary for my life change to occur, for change to occur in my life? And or others of you, maybe you've been around the block a few times with this, might be thinking, you know what, I've done that. I've opened my life up to God, but change still doesn't come easy. I mean, being born again, that hasn't necessarily been enough for me. So what am I missing? What am I doing wrong? Why is my life not changing? Well, Jesus says that life change is made possible by being born again. But later on, Jesus goes on to describe what Jesus says is the most basic thing that you and I can do in order to experience change in our lives. And Jesus describes the relationships that exist between himself and each of us, and he uses an example of a vine and branches. And Jesus says, he's the vine, we're the branches, and as long as we are attached to the vine, life change will take place. Jesus actually said it this way in John chapter 15. He said, remain in me, and I'll remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus says, apart from me, you can't do a thing. He says, remain in me. Now, Jesus' culture, this is a frequently used phrase. It's very common, and this isn't a super spiritual, mysterious, technical phrase that Jesus is using. Instead, he's using a very common phrase, and here's what it means. Remain in me means just remain or stay close. It means move in with me or live with me or vacation with me. And it's used in all sorts of contexts. And Jesus says the key to experiencing life change is to remain in me, which simply means stay close to me or remain next to me. Basically, what Jesus is saying is he's using a very highly relational word and essentially saying, stay close to me. Just stay close, stay close, stay close if you want to experience life change. And when you think about what Jesus is saying, stay close to me, live close in relationship to me, it makes sense. I mean, think about it. We become like whoever we are closest to. When we're younger, it's our parents. In our teens, it's our friends or a coach. When we start working full-time, it's our boss or other team members. When we get married, it's our spouse. You spend enough time with someone else, and you become like them. That's why we hear about somebody looking like their dog or their dog looking like them. And that's why Jesus says change occurs when we stay close to him. Jesus says, stay close to me long enough. And if you stay close to me long enough, then there will be changes that will take place in your life that will surprise you. And as these changes happen, they're not going to happen because you were trying harder to change, but they're going to happen because you stayed close to me. See, it's amazing, but it's all about staying close to Jesus. It's about remaining in constant contact with Jesus. It's about viewing our Christian life completely different than maybe we ever have before. It's about thinking in terms of pure relationship and allowing Jesus to live his life through you. And that's different. I mean, it is so different. See, my tendency is not to focus on relationship. Instead, my tendency is to spend all of my time thinking about the changes that I want to make in my life. And my tendency is to spend all of my time thinking about the changes I need to make in my life. And I can't waste time on relationship. There's work to be done. I need to change, and I need to focus on changing my life. But what Jesus is saying to me is, David, stop focusing on the changes you want in your life. And start focusing on staying close to me. Because the closer you stay to me, Jesus says, the more the necessary changes will come and take place. And for some of us, that's what we need more than anything else today. To hear that all we need to do more than anything else is to simply stay close to Jesus. Quit focusing on what needs to change, and instead focus on moving closer to Jesus. I suppose another way to say it is this. Don't spend all your time thinking about what you're going to try and change in your life. Instead, focus on uninterrupted fellowship with Jesus. Focus on uninterrupted relationship with Jesus. Just focus on staying close to Jesus. And when we stay close to Jesus, we're told that we have everything that we need in order to experience life change. Peter was another close friend of Jesus. He actually said it this way. He said, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know him, which means when you and I are born again, and as we stay close to Jesus, we have everything we need to experience life change. And practically speaking, do you know what this means for you? This means that if you've been born again, there's not a habit that can't be broken. There's not a wound that can't be healed. There's not a weakness that can't be overcome. There's not a flaw in your character that can't be changed. Why? Because you've been born again, and God's divine power is at work within you, and therefore, as you stay close to Jesus, you have everything that you need for life change to occur. Now, the truth is, you don't have what it takes to truly change your life. But when you let Jesus infiltrate your life, that's when life change begins to happen. But until then, you're just trying harder. Until then, you're just tweaking this or that, then it only results in superficial changes. But here's the cool thing. What God offers to you and what he offers to me is not superficial change. Instead, what God offers to you and to me is supernatural change. What God offers us is a second birth, a second life, a second chance. And the key to life change is to invite the change agent into our lives. We open the lid of our lives and we let Jesus in, and then we stay close to him. And as we do, Jesus changes us from the inside out. So here's the deal. In order for us to experience life change, we must learn to let go and let God by acknowledging that you can't do this on your own. So right now, tell God you need his intervention to transform your life. Tell God you're ready to be born again, and then stay close to Jesus. It's impossible not to experience change if you stay close to Jesus. And here's the cool thing about Jesus. Even though he loves you exactly as you are today, he loves you way too much to let you stay the way you are today. And see, if you've been born again, if you stay close to Jesus, you will become a better spouse. If you've been born again and if you remain in Jesus, you will become a better parent, a better friend, a better coworker, a better boss. If you've been born again and if you stay close to Jesus, he will change how you respond to difficult circumstances or hard times when they come your way, and they will come your way. If you want to change who you are, then you let go and you let God transform you. And so here's my challenge to you this week. As you and I step into the new year, make it a priority to set aside some time and first of all, just kind of evaluate your life. Take time to rethink your life and ask yourself the question, are you where you want to be? Is there an area of your life that you know needs to change and you want to see God transform it? And as you identify that area or even maybe areas of your life that you'd like to change, talk to God about those areas and write it down on a piece of paper and then regularly ask God to give you the courage to let go and just let him change your life instead of you trying harder, and give it to him and let him change you. And none of us can truly change ourselves apart from God. Only God can change your life. And so choose to cooperate and choose to allow him to begin this process of transforming your life from the inside out, and spend your time focused on staying close to Jesus and allowing him to change you. So I want to introduce you to Corrine. And let me tell you about a life change that has been happening in Corrine. And at the age of 18, Corrine had a bad experience with church. And this bad experience caused her to walk away from church altogether. It caused her to even walk away from God. And in that moment, Corrine felt alone. She felt bitter, and for the next 13 years, she actually convinced herself that God doesn't even exist. That is until about 3 years ago. That is until God actively began working in Corrine's life, and Corrine's life began to change. Now, for her, it all began with a simple thank you note that led to an invitation from a friend to attend an LCBC gathering, and to where Corrine now not only believes that God exists, Corrine actually believes that God loves her and God is leading her. And Corrine would say, God has completely changed her life. Listen to Corrine's story.
When I was 18 years old, my best friend had died by suicide. I experienced grief for the first time, and immediately I went to my church because that was the only place I knew to go. I was met with ignorance, with coldness, and I ended up leaving that day feeling more alone and more bitter and more resentful than I have in my entire life. And that day I slammed the door, literally, and I said, you know, if he was not saved because he killed himself, that because I struggle with my own mental health issues, that there's no future for me too. So I convinced myself over the next 13 years that there wasn't a God at all. Day-to-day life was lonely. It was cold, it was dark. You know, I struggle with depression, with anxiety. I'm diagnosed with bipolar disorder. So I never felt like I had an outlet. Like, I never felt like I was gonna be okay. And especially when you think that you don't deserve a place on the earth anymore, and you think that the only way to turn is to take your own life. And I never thought that I would get to that point, but I did. And I was only 22 years old. In 2018, our principal, because I'm a teacher, he came in and said that LCBC had handwritten cards that they wanted to give to everybody before our winter break. The walls immediately go up, and I wasn't even gonna open the card. I had all intentions of throwing that card in the trash. But I opened that card up, and in the card was a picture of me and Brooke Gerhardt, who is the worship leader in Hazleton, from a dance that we went to together, the mistletoe ball, in high school. And with a little note from him and another one of my friends. And you know, I reached out to him immediately and just expressed my gratitude. Over the course of, you know, the next month, I felt as though I needed to process the hurt I felt with the church. I just had this nudge to talk about it. And he came with an open heart and with no judgment, and he invited me to church. So I showed up at church in February. I walked in and I sat down, and I was just a puddle of tears. And I, for the first time in my life, felt peace. And I felt like all of the weight that I've been carrying over that 13 years was just completely released. They played a song called Spirit Lead Me. And in the song it says, even when it don't make sense, Spirit lead me. And at that point, nothing made sense. But I knew at that moment that I was gonna put my trust in Jesus. And that, you know, whatever were to come from here on out, like, I would have somebody walking with me through the fire, and I was gonna be okay. Since coming back to LCBC, I realized that God loves me in my mess. He's gonna meet me in my mess. He's going to love me in my mess. He loves the broken parts of me. He loves me exactly as I am. He gives me unimaginable grace every single day. And learning how to have a relationship with God and how to talk to God and have a real relationship with Him has completely changed my life.
So I wonder what would happen to my life if every day I would actually say to God, God, my life is an open space for you to come and have your way. I wonder what changes God would bring into my life. And I wonder what would happen if in your life, if right now you were to say to God, God, my life is an open space for you to come and just kind of have your way. God, I wonder what changes He would bring to your life. And I wonder, what if every day you and I were to say to God, God, do whatever you want to do. God, today, say whatever you want to say. God, today, move whatever you want to move and change whatever you want to change. I wonder how different our lives would actually be. Why not invite God to change our lives right now, in this very moment? In this very moment, tell God that you want your life to be different right now, in this very moment. Maybe even repeat these words after me in your head or in your heart or even out loud if you want. Say, God, do whatever you want to do today. God, say whatever you want to say. God, move however you want to move. God, change whatever you want to change. As we say those words, I think these next few days and weeks and months are going to be exciting to watch and see as God leads us individually, and to see how God changes each and every one of our lives if we will allow Him to change us. But I also need to give you a quick warning. I need to give you a quick heads up, because, and we'll talk about this more next weekend, but I need to warn you about this today. You see, you might assume that when you begin to allow God to make changes in your life, and you might assume that when you allow God's Spirit that's living in you to change you, and as you begin to listen to God, you might assume that when you get close to Jesus, that everything in your life is going to go smoothly, that everything will be rosy. But I just need to tell you, maybe not. I'll tell you what often happens. What often happens when we allow God to change our lives is that all hell breaks loose in our lives. More often than not, just because you've turned your life over to God, life will not necessarily immediately become smooth in a bed of roses. In fact, most often just the opposite is true. The truth is that there is a very good chance that as God begins to make changes in your life, all hell will break loose in your life as well. So we're going to talk about that more next week, but you need to know that as you experience change, you're also going to experience conflict on a number of fronts, but all the more reason to stay close to Jesus. And as you stay close to Jesus through the conflict, and as you stay close to Jesus through the change, then you'll begin to experience growth, and then you'll begin to experience healthy change. Bottom line, and here's the good news. I can't change myself, and you can't change yourself. None of us can truly change ourselves, but God can change your life. And right now, God is offering to change your life if you will only allow Him to do so. So if you'd like to talk or pray with somebody about this or anything else that you might be struggling with today, right now the chat on the screen will remain open for the next 10 minutes or so. Stick around and let us know how we can be praying for you, or you can go to our website at any time, click on the prayer button, let us know how we can be praying for you. And then can I just encourage you, invite somebody to join us as we continue in our series, Rethinking My Life. Send them a link to this gathering, to future gatherings, so they can join us online. You won't regret that you did. In LCBC, as you allow God to lead you and change you through this coming week, may the Lord bless and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. Thanks for being here with us. We'll see you next week.